Welcome to the Body Beauty Show, a podcast brought to you by CryoSkin. This show is devoted to bringing beauty and wellness business owners expert insights into the industry, what's changing in it, and what lies ahead. This is your show if you're looking for tips, tactics, and strategies on how you can take your business to the next level. My name is Austin Evans, and I am your host. Let's get started. Okay, so a bit of a preamble before we start today's episode. The guest is Dr. Sabrina Rojek. She is a therapist out in Charlotte, North Carolina, owner of the Integrative Wellness Solutions practice. And we cover a lot of ground from mindset, goal setting, and finding your audience and the rest of it. This one's a bit cheeky, so I would suggest not having your kids listen. It is, again, fairly PG, but there are some cheeky, punchy parts as we talk through the different topics. So be advised. It is a good one, though, so stick around. You will enjoy it. It is extremely rare that you come across somebody who really in truth needs no introduction, because what you'll find as we go through the show that the introduction is effectively superfluous. But you know what the heck, I'm going to do it anyway. So this is Dr. Sabrina Rojek. She is the owner of Integrative Wellness Solutions. She is a marketing madwoman, super genius, just bubbling with insights. And I am absolutely, dare I say, tickled to have her on the show. Dr. Sabrina, I'm glad you're here. Thanks for jumping on.
Oh, tickled, not tickled. Listen, there's going to be a whole lot more we can tickle here if this is what we want to do. But we're going to keep it serious. We're going to keep it real. We're going to keep it real serious, maybe.
Let's do it.
Okay. Let's do it. Look at, she's all bubbly in here. I'm like, I don't have it. I don't know. Here we go.
Well, we could start at one of two points, I think, on your journey, yes. Either where you are right this second, or more interestingly, to give the listeners the context on who the heck you are. Yes. Why don't we start there instead? So who are you? Talk to me. What's your story?
Yeah.
And we'll get started.
Reader's Digest version. So here's the things. The first things are, I'll tell you my resume, and then we're going to just talk about story. I don't really care so much about my resume, but some people might, which is, I am a holistic alternative practitioner. I do have a practice, and I started there just as we were kind of vibing for a second there before we started. Is prior military, I was in the Navy, and I was a hospital corpsman. So I've been doing medical things for about 20 years. From there, I always knew that I wanted to be a therapist. So even prior to the medical stuff, I knew that I wanted to be able to help other people with the things that I have learned. And so that's always been the goal. And then I became a therapist. I also did some other jobs in the in-between that helped pay for school so I could become a therapist and specialize then in sex therapy. So I'm a marriage family therapist, specialize in sex therapy. I also transgender studies, trauma, addiction, fantasies, all that fun stuff. And then lastly, on top of that, then I also have within my practice as well is some other means for coaching, for business and marketing type of things, and for people that are in the helping professions, as well as some spiritual ways aspects, biofield tuning, and some other dimension type stuff, if you will. Bring that all together, how can I be of best service? That's really, that's the easy answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reader's Digest.
That's the Reader's Digest.
Grade would be an A+ there.
Thank you.
The reaccount of your resume.
Thank you.
I think you're right. Most people look at resumes. In fact, when I look at a resume, mm-hmm. I generally look at the name and then toss it immediately, which is probably poor practice on my part. So let's start with, so what are you doing today? So you know, when we were doing some prep, at least we, as in me, on my end, we're looking at your business. You know, obviously you have the Integrative Wellness Solutions practice. Right. Is that your main focus these days, or are you doing other ventures as well?
Other ventures. And that's actually not my main focus. So thank you for asking. So the other piece is then, is I gave you the resume, but let me take you, if I can, for a second then on a little journey with me for a moment, which is,
let's do it.
Which will then get to where I'm at right this second and what I'm really, you know, what I'm focused on and what are the other steps. So real quick, if I can share, is that I'm going to get real deep real fast and then we can go where we want with it, which is, why did I become a therapist? Right? Like, why did I pick this path? Why do we need help? The big thing is, first is we do all need help. There's so much information. There's this inundation of information that then we get stuck, right? With the analysis paralysis. And so part of my story then is I come from a family that has a lot of abuse, quite honestly, that has a lot of secrets, that old school parenting too, which is, you know, just never spoiling the child or sparing the rod. We're not doing that. It was the opposite. What is the opposite saying for that? Where's that Bible verse? Whatever that verse was, that's the one.
Hey Siri, what's the opposite? No,
that's the one that my family had. So anyway, there was definitely that, but it's the seen and not heard. It was a lot of things that are, I guess, typical to how we as Americans raise our children, which is really fear-based. There's a lot of separation. I start out there because my family then did a lot of body shaming. There was a lot about how do you look? Are you skinny enough? Is your eyebrows looking sexy? Do you have your face on? How do you look? How do you present? A lot was put on. What do you look like? How are you presenting? That creates its own little problems and breaks. I also then, on top of it, why I became a sex therapist is there's a lot of sexual abuse in my family, including with myself, and a lot of secrets. Most people that have this in there, it's a lot. There's like 60% of women have had this and about 18% of men. That's all that's been reported. The reason why I bring this up then is that's why that's become my passion, is I wanted to be able to understand how did my family break me? How did they break the other people in our family as well? And this is a really common, unfortunate thing. 90% of perpetrators are people you know, are family members. And so all of this to say was, I wanted to understand me and how do I get happier? How do I feel good? And so my raising, like everyone else's, had some good stuff and also had some really great bad stuff in there. And so now we're on this journey to grow, to expand, to improve, to no longer work from those things that aren't serving us, all that fear and those abuse places and all of that stuff. And so now moving forward on where I'm at, I shared with you a bit of go, and you know, if you're sensitive ears, put your little earmuffs on, that what I'm working on now is I have a boot camp going on right now. I have a group called Shift Your Shit. And the basics of this is that we've got two tracks, and one is life and one is business. And this really is becoming the culmination of the work that I'm doing. Why was, again, my understanding of self, so that the tools and the things that I've learned in the dark that I could bring to the light to help others that are struggling, right? We're all struggling with the same stuff. We're all wanting to love. We're all wanting to feel connected, right? We all want the same stuff. And so now it's, how can I translate that into something usable with other people? And so Shift Your Shit is the group that I have now. And there's other groups that I have. I do private coaching and therapy. The differences in those then is therapy, really, we do stick to the emotional, mental, of course, if there's, you know, any abuse stuff, more the talk somatic therapy. My coaching, then I tend to incorporate all of my expertise, which is then then I bring in health and we talk about your physical body more. What do you need to eat? What type of physical things does your body need to also your mental emotions, so those can be healthy, so your sex life can be healthy, so your relationship with money can be healthy. So we talk about all that stuff. And so I'm available in all of those places. So basically at Dr. Sabrina Rojek on any platform, YouTube, Twitter, whoever, whatever, Facebook, you'll find me somewhere on there.
www.internet.
That, pretty much. And boom, it's Sabrina Rojek. Yes. I think I'm like the first, I'm the first 17 pages. If you Google my name, which I would hope I would come up on my own name. That would be weird. Came up on someone else's.
Name. Well, yeah, that would be odd. I think so. Here's what's interesting about you is that one of the trends that I'm seeing in the beauty and aesthetic or vanity or whatever universe is shifting more towards, in fact, the first episode I ever did was with a lovely gal who runs a practice in Burley, Idaho, and she focuses on, you know, the external universe of the individual, the micro universe, let's say, of the individual with respects to body contour. So she has a cryo skin unit in her her office, and she's helping people with their outside looking in, look and feel.
Yep.
Okay. But that's only part of it.
Totally. Right?
There is a more holistic package to address and work on with each individual client. And part of that, huge part of that, arguably the foundation of that is their headspace, how they feel about themselves. And a lot of that has to do with, of course, dealing with the baggage in the corner, in the, you know, the crevasses of your mind that you're not even aware exist from childhood and the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And so you really focus on the latter, which is the headspace of the individual, helping them work through their issues and the rest of it. So with that, you know, obviously have built out a practice, and you're helping folks with their different maybe dysphorias, and again, I don't know the terms. Yeah. I'm not a therapist.
Sure.
But I'd be interested in hearing about how you have built the practice, because you know you mentioned that the Integrative Wellness Solutions is not, it's not the focus. You have some other entities as well. What are the other entities that you're working on? You just mentioned the last one, some of the coaching stuff, Shift Your Shit, right? And that's a big focus of yours as well. Yep. But maybe we can zero in on how you have gone about building the practice.
Okay.
You know, because, you know, obviously there was a moment where you didn't have a single client.
Right.
And then you went to where you are today, where you have, you know, tens or hundreds of clients.
Yep.
So maybe talk me through the journey of building out the practice, and maybe we'll start at square one.
Okay.
How you even got started.
Sure.
Doing it.
Yeah. So before that, you had a couple of questions in there. And so one of the first ones, and started to kind of go in that direction too, then was, yes, I focus on the mental, emotional. However, from a physical perspective, also being a practitioner, I have weight loss programs. I have had ultrasonic liposuction done before. I was actually going to become a plastic surgeon before. I've done the cryo thing. I've watched them. I've trained under them, and actually almost had a similar machine brought into my practice as well. So I'm saying that because the first thing that I'd like to address real quick, and then I'll absolutely talk about, is it sounded like you were about to go there. If you weren't, my bad. And I'm going to talk about it anyway. And then if you were, I'm reminding you, which was, there is that component that we do need to pay attention to from the emotional mental perspective when you're trying to make your outsides look like anything, right? That if we're actively focusing on, I want this to be thin and I want this to be sexy. I want this to look harder. I want this to look more contoured than what it actually is, or, you know, whatever it is, do you and be great. First of all, let's just acknowledge you get to do that, and you don't have to be body shamed into that for you not losing the weight the way that other people decide you need to do shit, right? We're just going to put that out there, which is first own and accept that. So you get to do that. I'm not judging anybody's journey on how you choose to do something. So that's the first thing. There is, and working with eating disorders in particular, and a lot of food issues, body issues, and like you said, body dysmorphias and all of that as well, I had those same issues. I had all that. That's why I became the specialist in it. So you do, friends, if you're gonna get and go do anything that's gonna alter the body, and this is the direction you want to go, yes, absolutely, that's fabulous. And you do want to check in with your mentals, emotionals, whether you actually go see a professional or not. Here's the things that I wish more people had on their radar, and that they're supposed to. They're actually supposed to be being talked to by these practices when you go, is to address this and ask a couple of basic questions, pretty much, which is, if you think, here's a better way to say it. Have you heard, and I'm asking you, Austin, have you heard people say, or, you know, that if somebody was 350 pounds and fairly rapidly, they were then able to lose this weight, did it change their mindset or their emotions?
No.
We've also heard that where people that got interviewed after losing a significant amount of weight, they thought that was going to solve their problems, right? They thought they would love themselves, or that someone else would love them once this happened. They get it done. They look sexy. So that feels good. Maybe they're getting all types of attention, but did it make them learn how to love themselves? They thought, oh, the weight is what's keeping me from loving myself. No, ma'am, no, sir, no friend, non-binary or otherwise, however you want to call it. It's not. That's not what's getting in the way. You're getting in the way of loving you. You need to sort that out. And you thought that this was what's going to make you happy. So the one disillusion, I will say, that the majority of people that I've heard that have had some drastic change, if they didn't address this piece first, was, my outside's changed, I'm still just as depressed. And so basically, you're a skinny fat person. It's the same idea as a dry drunk. When you're obsessing about the weight and how you look, you didn't really solve anything. You're still obsessing. So I just wanted to to speak to that, because you touched on it for half a second and then you moved away, that, you know, yes, please do this for yourself, but address this piece that you, that the changing of your outside might completely change your life and you might still be with yourself. And so you need to just check in, right? So that's the first piece of starting on that. And then now we can move on from there. We want to be balanced. I mean, that's the whole thing. We want to be balanced. So in all aspects of our health, not just that way that we look. So I hope that gets to somebody. For the actual practice itself then, yes, yes, and yes, and let's jump in there. So from both from a therapy perspective and from a just opening a, you know, a practice, an office, there are a couple of books. Excuse my mouth that went away. I have a couple of books in particular for therapy and for practices that are life-changing. I'll pull them off my shelf here in a second, and I can give you those titles so we can have resources. But basically, you have to get very clear in any business, I don't care what it is, in any business, whether it's beauty or health, who are you serving and why? So to get the practice going, and to fill it and to get people who wanted to join it, is I had to get very clear. Here's the thing that seems like it should be pretty easy. It's really not as easy. You need to niche down as far as you can. So you talked about cryo and body contouring. Offices that will offer that, that's a niche. Obviously, a lot of them offer other things. If they only offer that, that makes it really, really simple, honestly, from a marketing perspective. It's not hard to figure out what the demographics are. Who is your avatar? Meaning, who are the consumers, right? You have to know who your audience is and know how to get them. So for me, it was, what am I doing? Who am I? What can I offer? I had to know that. And then I had to know, who's my avatar? Who am I serving? And you have to know them so damn well. You want to know, because the point of it is if we're trying to know them so well and pay attention to them so well, we anticipate and we know what makes them sad. We know what makes them happy. We know where they hang out. It is our job to know where they hang out, because we have to know, how do we get them? How do we market it? Where do these other purple shirts hang out, right? You have to figure out, I'm looking for purple shirts, or I'm looking for unicorns. Where do unicorns hang out? So once you have that, then you also know, based off my experience and what are my expertise, what can I offer, right? So now I've got products and services. The whole point for anybody being in business is to then, if you want to grow and expand, to scale it, then we need to be able to anticipate, what is the next thing that by the having of my product or service will then create? How do I anticipate what is the new problem I'm creating by solving this one? Does that make sense? Do you see what I'm saying?
Okay, let's park right there, because there's two things that just jumped off the page. Yes. I guess it would be the inside of my headphones, not the page. I'm not reading. My ears aren't capable of reading. There's no eyeballs in my ears. Okay.
We don't know.
There might be. Yeah.
Whatever.
There might be. Reminds me of a country song. Anyway, back to what matters. Okay, so two things. Yes. Number one, a lot of business owners have no idea who the hell they're serving. None. They say, hey, I'm a chiropractor. Okay, great. I'm a massage therapist. Great. I'm a med spa owner. Okay, great. No. Who's your customer?
Exactly.
They're women. Yeah. Okay. We've chopped down the pool of available customers down from 7 billion to 3.5 billion.
Right.
Congratulations.
Well done.
Go smaller. Right. Right? So what you're advocating, and this is great, cause we can really dive into
this. Yes, please.
Is you have to go small before you go big, right?
You have to niche down
selection.
Yes. And
talk to me. How do I do that?
Yes, yes, yes.
How do I do that? If I'm a new chiropractor, a new crowd therapy center, a new whatever, how do I figure out who the hell my customer
is? Yes. Ooh, wee. Okay. A couple of good things. So first, so even before the customer, is you have to ask yourself the questions about you. Who are you? What are you bringing? And I like to first get people to figure out what three words, emotions, are we trying to evoke that we can then come down to three words that are our foundation. This also then helps us figure out who we're serving. So you have to stop and for a moment and think about, what am I trying to do for people really? Fine, I might have a product or service. I might have this glass of water, but I'm not just trying to give you a glass of water. For me, why am I trying to give you this water? Well, because when I have water, water makes me feel soothed. Water makes me feel comforted. And so what am I really wanting people to feel when they experience me? Any part of me in my business? That's what you have to, that's the first question. What do you want people to feel and walk away from? What do you want them to say to themselves when they walk away from you and your services about you and the feelings you evoked? Because that's how people remember people, right? All marketing is emotional. And then we go with logic to back up the purchase. So emotionally, what would people gain by being interested in you and your products? So the, for example, for me was, what were the three words? What were the three images? I wanted people to feel like they were home. When they were with me, I wanted them to feel comforted. I wanted them to feel like they had a friend. I want people, I recognize that in therapy or even in coaching and some of this other stuff that I'm do and that I ask people do, they need to be brave. There's a certain amount of courage that it takes then. And so I want them to feel empowered, to feel courageous. You see? So do you see where I'm going? These are the things that in every instance, in every interaction with me or any piece of my business, these are the things that I want people to feel when they're experiencing me. So can you narrow it down to three? Those three things then become, or however many, a small amount, those become your foundation for all of your marketing and how you talk and all your emails, as well as the copy that you're going to put down. So now you know what you want people to feel. Who are the people then that you want to feel that from? Because you really don't actually resonate with everyone. So like what you said, what people do is they say, I'm a chiropractor, I'm a massage therapist. I can help everybody. Yeah, you can help everybody, but not everybody wants to be helped by you. You, by you being you, attracts certain people. So you want to break down yourself also. Who do you naturally attract? How do you talk? What are your isms? What are those things? Because then you can start to identify, who are the other tribe members? Who am I trying to get? Because it's not really everyone. So here's my better example. I'm a therapist. And when I first started, it was, whoever will give me money, I'll see everybody. Here's what I realized. I'm not the therapist that wants to have to work with people with hard diagnoses. Do you understand what I mean? And so what I realized then for me as a therapist, I don't want to work with everybody. My ideal, who is your ideal customer? That's who you work with. Who's already in your pool? So how do you figure out who your ideal customer is? You start asking yourself some questions, right? Okay, what do I like? Who do I want to attract? What do they need? What product and services am I giving? Who needs these things? And then out of those people who need it or who could use it, when I close my eyes and I imagine, and we can all do this, they can even do it now. Let's just do it now. If you close your eyes, imagine yourself sitting in your business, wherever that is. If you're virtual, if it's brick and mortar, if it's an office and somebody's going to come through your front door or they're going to come onto your screen, sit for a second. What is your perfect customer look like? How do they do? What do they do? How do they act? When you imagine yourself smiling while you're talking to them, them giving you their money easily and without resistance, and they're saying all the right things, they're doing all, what do they look like? So you're starting to formulate a picture, whether we realize that or not. Is that male or female, or is it both? Maybe you've got a man and a woman, or whatever, a non-binary, whoever you want to call. Maybe it's animals, whatever. But you're picturing who and what that is. But now go a step further. So think about, what questions would you ask? What would you know about them? The product and the service. So you can narrow down then, what makes them your perfect customer? This is a little bit more work than what we actually think it is. You really have to spend time on, who is that perfect person sitting across from you? Because now you know who do you actually want. And now all you do then is focus on those people. But you niche down. You really want to get as specific as possible, because then that's where the people that become your raving fans. That's the 80% that make up, you know, that's the 20% that makes 20%. Up 80%. You knew where I was going. Yeah, Help me fix it.
Sure,
you know,
sure,
that's
sure.
the 20% that makes up the 80% of your money and that your followers, yeah. because they're engaged. They want you. They're as attracted to you as you are to them. They're the ones that keep on coming, not just the one-time buyers.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're a doctor. Oh, wait, you are.
It's almost. But this part is the part. This is the part that I can tell you as a business owner, I just had to redo this piece. I had my avatar. And here's the other piece. Once you get it, we call it avatar. You can have 1 to 3. Usually, it's generally not too many more than 3, but there might be 1 to 3 avatars. When you figure out who they are, what they are, put them on bullet points. Go Google someone that has all those characteristics and get a picture. Print it. Mine is printed. It's turn my thing. It's sitting, they're on the wall, because that way it reminds me. And so when I go to create a service or a product, I look on the wall and I say, what would Norman want? Would Norman like this? What would Jade, that's the name of my avatar, is Norman and Jade. Would Jade like this? What is Jade worried about right now? What is she scared about right now? What is Norman pissed off about right this second? And is there something I can do about that? You know, and so that's the part that I was talking about. We want to niche down so well. We want to know our avatars that well, but print it, put it on there so you can see. And everything that you're doing, you look at that and you say, is this what Jade and Norman needs? And that keeps you on brand, on target with your target audience, and you will, and you can be successful and make millions of dollars in those pots. People think that by niching down, that's less people to give them money. No, you're just targeting who are the people who will give you their money. You're making your job easier. Like, that's the piece people seem to miss, is that
you're hacking efficiency.
Yes.
Your time.
Yes.
Right, exactly. And I think, so here's another way to think of that. And that was fantastically stated, by the way. Pareto's principle, the 80-20 rule, okay, which is something, it's a phenomenon we can observe pretty much everywhere in the universe.
Yes.
Right? In the universe, yes. 80% of the mass that exists is contained within 20% of the celestial bodies yep. out there.
Yes.
20% of your garden and the fruit produced in it will be produced by
80%
of your
20% yield. Yes.
Or flipping that
yeah.
around.
Anyway, yes.
This division, this split is everywhere.
Yes.
Okay. But here's what people don't think about that is in the same lane, is that within every 20% is another 20%.
Right.
Is another 20%.
Right.
Okay. So to the point about niching down or drilling down and getting extremely clear on the customer that you want to serve. Realize that the clearer you get, the more efficient you're going to be with your time,
your money.
The more efficient you're going to be with your advertising
yes.
dollars.
Yes.
By the way, Facebook exists. I mean, it's well, I just watched the Social Dilemma documentary and it has my mind a little bang sideways.
Socially dilemmaed.
Well, the documentary is called Social Dilemma.
No, I know. Anyway. You said it has my mind a little. I said, does it have your mind socially dilemmaed? Like, did it do its
Ooh.
Job?
Ooh, it did. Not bad. Look at that. Wordplay.
I can spin words too, my friend.
Anyway, the point is, if you can find
yes.
the 20% within your 20%,
yep.
okay, you are going to have explosive growth
yes.
in your business. And it's almost impossible to not do that. Why? Yep. You want some proof? Here's some proof.
Let's get it.
Recently, I took on a bad customer. And I don't mean they're bad because they're a terrible person or they're not nice or their character's flawed or whatever. No, I took on a customer that really, in truth, I probably wasn't the best for. So what happened as a result is that now they're calling me all the time. They need more attention. And I'm giving it to them. But guess what? If it was somebody who fit my ideal client or customer profile, avatar, persona, call it what you will, and I had the ability or the clarity in my thinking to tell this person up front during the discovery call when we're talking to each other, do we like each other? Is the chemistry right? Are we good for each other? Does product make sense for your business? Whatever. I would have been able to sift out this person DQ them and moreover suggest, no, 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 what you really need is this, go call John down the street. Yes. I would have enriched John's business. Mm-hmm. He would have had a happy customer. He would have, you know, been more inclined to refer people to me.
Yep.
I would have freed up the extra 3 hours a week that I spend talking to this person.
Yes.
Those 3 hours I could have spent serving other people. Mm-hmm. I could have taken on another 10 clients. Mm-hmm. And guess who suffers as a result? Ultimately, it's the customer, because I didn't do my job in sifting out the person I can serve optimally from those that I cannot.
Absolutely.
And had I had clarity on the avatar, that would have been avoided.
Yep. And then not just the clarity, it's then also, it's then giving yourself permission and the allowance to realize, and you need to be selective for yourself, especially when you're, you know, in the new business, that's where people get themselves in trouble, right? The people that are new business, it didn't take you very long to figure out, you know what, I knew better. And this is exactly why I knew better. I'm not doing that anymore. Right? You only have to do that a couple of times where you get those, those folks, those clients, those patients, those whatevers, where you're like, yeah, no, this was not worth it. This is this. And that's when you figure out, this is not my avatar. I guess I'm not for everybody. Right? You're like, this is not the experience that I want.
Right.
And then, like you said, it's not, now it's not fun for you, but then it is a disservice to the client. Dean Graziosi just, he said that he gets upset with himself now because we should be to the point. It is our business as entrepreneurs, as business owners or whatever. It is our business to be good at marketing. It is our business to know that we are good and amazing and essential at whatever we do, and that other people want that. And so it really, I need to own that. I need to be comfortable with that. And so that's the other piece, is know your freaking worth, know your value, stop charging so cheap and less, stop undervaluing yourself, because that's the second piece then, right, Austin? It's not just the avatar. It's you also then have to value yourself to not keep under freaking cutting yourself like people do, where they give discounts or then take on the people that they don't want to take because they get in fear about, you know, who's going to show up. That is not a fun use of anybody's time. It is a disservice. And so what Dean Graziosi says, he gets mad, is we need to be so good that the right people are coming to us. If you get those customers that you're not completely vibing with, that lets you know, don't beat yourself up. Just let that be the indicator that it is. You need to fix your marketing. There's something unclear. You're targeting, you need to get a little bit more focused in who you're trying to target, so that people, when they read your material, your marketing stuff, they weed themselves out. You want people to be so clear on what your message is, that means you have to be clear on it, that in any headline, hook, story, close that you say, they need to be able to look at it, read it, or see, and for them to say, oh, that's me, or, oh, no, that's not me. You want people to disqualify themselves so you don't have to waste your time.
Self-select.
Yes, please do it.
Right.
Get better questions. Stop being afraid to ask people the questions, because then they're afraid to hear people say, yeah, you're not for me. You don't want to be for everybody. I promise you, you're not for everybody. You are not friends with every type of human in the world, because you are not for everybody. I don't care if you think you're the bee's knees. I'm freaking amazing. I am not for everybody. I'm not for everybody. Not everybody resonates with my energy, my story, how I talk, and what I'm doing. Austin could be telling the same exact thing that I'm telling, but you might resonate with how he looks, his story, something else. And that's why in the very beginning, I said, it's also very important, know what you look like and how you sound and how other people feel and how they experience you, because this is what's working against you and what is working for you and your business is, because people judge a book by their cover. So if they see you, or they hear you talk, or they hear you say something, they're judging whether or not you're the good match, whether or not you resonate, if you look like them, if you sound like them, or if you look and sound very different. You need to know what barriers to acceptance does your audience then have? And that's the whole point of marketing too then, right? Hook, story, close. You tell the story to help them get past their barriers to buy what you want them to buy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think many, many business owners fail to realize just what is at stake with customer selection. So there's two ideas here to unpack. Mm. The first is that And I'm going to actually give a shout out to a coach of mine who I love dearly, Noah Goldman, genius guy. He says that the role of a salesperson is really two things. This is the value that we add to society. Yes. It's selection.
Yes.
Choosing the right product, or the right service, or the right partner, whatever. And then the implementation of that, that is it. Right? There's something called a buy button, right? Most people don't want to talk to a salesperson right. when they can go on Amazon and hit buy right. now.
Yep.
Okay. So the value we add is selection and helping the individual yes. select and choose the right product.
Yes.
Now, here's the Got converse it. Of yep. that many business owners do not seem to understand. Yes. It works in the other direction as well, right? You're selecting your customers, patients, clients, whatever.
Yes.
And here's the reason why, by the way. It turns out there's something at stake if you get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that? Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the 80-20 mm-hmm. principle, right? So just the same as that there's a 20 inside of the 20, mm-hmm. right? Getting the right customer can lead to extreme revenue growth, et cetera, yes. et cetera. But if you get it wrong, now you're going into the 80% of the 80% right. and you're going to add nightmares to your life. Bad reviews. People calling you at 3 a.m. demanding support when it's like the expectation was set up front. Listen, we're 9 to 5.
Right.
I'll get to you at 9 a.m. the next day. Okay. Stop calling me at 2 a.m.
Sounds a little traumatized right? there. Are you okay, Austin? Have you had that? Do you need to talk?
I'm tough as nails. I am tough as nails. I'll call
How
you
after the show. How do you feel about that?
Your calendar.
Totally.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think, you know, if there's one idea from what we've covered so yep. far, is that you've got to realize as the business owner, receptionist, whatever, whoever's tasked with incorporating, adding, augmenting the business with new customers,
yes.
your role as a business owner is to evaluate your possible customers just the same as they're evaluating you.
Yes.
Get that
yes.
in between your ears.
Yes.
Let it resonate. Yes. Stew on it, because I promise you, if you get that right, your world will be a brighter place. Now, mm-hmm. that having been said, this is a theme that I've remarked on a few times on the show so far. But there's one thing that you mentioned that I hadn't thought of, and I'm wondering if you can unpack it, the thinking behind it a little bit. Obviously, it's a bit sensical. You know, it's obvious. This is the printing out of your avatar. One of the reasons why I think this is so powerful, and maybe we can you know unpack this and find another crevasse to me.
Oh, there's lots.
But there's so many. This show may go on for 3 hours, listeners. So
just
so
be
buckle
ready.
Up.
ready for, we don't know what we're doing right now.
Grab your coffee, get your black gold. Exactly. Maybe a bottle of wine.
Whatever.
Who knows? In any case, okay. So you print off your avatars. You have it on your whiteboard. Okay. Here's why I think that's so powerful, and I'm wondering if we can take the same idea and apply it elsewhere. Mm-hmm. As a therapist, now you're—I didn't ask before the show—but you're a doctor of
nutrition, PhD in clinical sexology, master's of counseling psychology.
Beautiful. Yes. Okay, got it. Okay, got it. So I'm assuming throughout your study, you've skimmed or gotten deep into the reticular activating system in the brain,
yes.
which is that filter between the you know your conscious state and your subconscious or unconscious
yes.
state. Anyway, long story short, it's the thing that here's what it feels like to notice your RAS. Okay, guys and gals, is let's say you're looking at a you know I'm a Tesla fanatic. So
yes,
say for me, fine. I'm looking at Tesla Model S, the Plaid Edition, 0-60 in 0.3 seconds or whatever.
Yes.
It is, okay. As I scan my environment, that Tesla is jumping out into my field of awareness more readily
mm-hmm.
than it was before
right.
I was thinking about Teslas
yes.
because that part of my brain, the RAS, has primed itself to sniff those out in the environment and notice them more often.
Mm-hmm.
So bear with
yes.
me here. This is like pseudo neuroscience.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm with you. I'm writing.
Tactical instincts.
Yep.
Okay. So what I'm thinking is that for many people, they have no clarity on what the hell it is that they're trying to accomplish in life, goals, vision, whatever, and serving your personas is just the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you could speak to maybe just how profound the impact of doing something like this is mm-hmm. in light of the reality of the RAS. Because this, again, mm-hmm. like the 80-20 mm-hmm. can work in the opposite direction if you're just focused on, oh my God, the elections are coming and the world's going to end.
Yes.
Well, guess what? Your world's going to end.
Yep. That's it. You're done.
You're priming yourself.
Why even?
You're done.
Why even show up? You're done.
Thoughts.
Yes.
Over to you.
Oh God, so many. Ooh, let me reel myself in. Okay. So reticular activating system, the second you say that, then my brain goes to EMDR and hypnotherapy. So I'm also a hypnotherapist. I forgot to say that part. And basically, I'm going to share with you a visual. Let's bring this home. And then basically, that which you focus on, thoughts become things. That's it. That's not even how I thought I was going to kick it off. Friends, thoughts become things. That which you focus on, whether your eyeballs or your thoughts, thoughts beget thoughts. So that's number one, whether that's good feeling thoughts, bad feeling thoughts, or neutral. Most of the time we're not neutral. It's bad or good. So that which you focus on becomes things. Thoughts become things. Emotions follow your thoughts. Your feelings follow what you focus on. So just like what you said, Austin, absolutely. And we all have had stories where when I decide I want something, and particularly cars, this was me, and I was going to buy a Tahoe. And I was like, I'm finally going to get my Tahoe. And so, of course, I saw them regularly anyway, but then I really saw every freaking Tahoe that there was to see in the world. Then I saw it, right? Because that which I'm focused on, I will find. That which we're looking for, we will find. This is in all areas of our lives, friends, whether this is love, if this is depression, if you're looking for bad, crappy, shitty relationships, guess what? You're going to find it because that's what you're looking for. That is what's called your lens. The stories that we tell ourselves, the meaning we give to it becomes our lens. I need you to really understand this because this is not just, obviously this absolutely affects business. This more affects your life, but what affects your life affects your business. That becomes your lens. Every single interaction in your life gets filtered through your lens. That's why, Austin, you and I, we could be at the store and something could happen, right? Somebody bumps into us with the cart, let's say we're walking on, somebody bumps into us with the cart. Depending on where we're at that day, we had the same experience, right? Or similar, whatever. But depending on what happened to you that day and what happened to me that day, there's a couple of very different responses that might happen to somebody bumping into our cart, right? Catch you on a good day, Austin, and what might be the response? It might be a good response. You bumped in me. Oh, well, have a good day. Catch me on a bad day. And what is a bad day? I could have got fired. I could have been talking bad to myself all day. I could have just had an argument. Somebody, whatever. We don't know. Now catch me on that day. I have a very, very different freaking response. I might tell you about yourself. I might tell you about your mom. I might tell you about whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is, it's the lens, right? I flip out about it. But then let's say Austin's sitting there and he's like, I didn't have a bad day. So this didn't really bother me. He says, yeah, no worries, you know, take care. I'm over here cussing the person out. Why? Why? Because of our lens. Because to me, them bumping into me meant more than them just bumping into me. When they bumped into me, it compounded every single time someone else bumped into me and those feelings got compounded with it. So then I have this over the top reaction. Right? So I am going to bring this back to RAS. I'm bringing all this. The point though is our lens, that which we choose to focus on, friends, we will see it. We will get, evidence of it 100% of the time, good, bad, or otherwise, right? Yeah. If thoughts become things, however you're feeling, your feelings are your GPS, are your emotional guidance system on what you will create and how you're feeling. You want to pay attention. So EMDR. So actually, here's the little example I want to give real fast. How this carries into business and then also into life. Your actual eyes, when they look at something, when they focus on something, should be pretty steady. When you look at something, your eyes should rest on it and pretty much be able to look at that thing. What if I were to start, and I know you can't see my videos and what I'm doing with my fingers, but what if I start looking back and forth? What if my head starts turning sideways? What do we do when we're looking for danger? What do our eyes do? What do they physically do when we're looking for danger? If we were scanning the horizon, looking for the saber-toothed tiger that was going to come out and chew on us, how do we scan? we scan side to side, but the more nervous we are, the more frantic the side to side gets. And so what it looks like is really shifty eyes. Have you seen people, I'm actually going to ask you, Austin, have you seen people that in your regular conversation that they seem to have, like they have shifty eyes? Have you seen people like that, that they look all over the place, but at you?
COVID has severely constrained my contact with new shifty types.
Well, I want to say I have experienced the people that their eyes do this. My younger brother is one of them, actually. Here's what it does. That's a nervous response. That's telling the body, when you shift your eyes rapidly side to side, you can actually do it right now. You will activate your sympathetic nervous system. So when you were talking about your reticular eyes, basically it's the eye-brain connection. By whatever your eyes are doing, just by their movement, your brain is wiring things. That's something to know. It is so powerful that what you focus on become things that if your eyeballs are shifty, if you're all over the place, follow me with it, is basically you're activating your adrenaline, fight, flight, or freeze is being activated. How can you show up in life on a regular basis from that space? You can't, but we do it all the time. So how can you show up from business from that place? If you are not focused and you're shifting and you're not making a decision, you're kind of bouncing, that's going to show up in business. That's going to show up in the different type of inconsistent customers you have. That's going to show up in you showing up inconsistently, so that if you have a service versus a product, they're going to have, one person's going to have this amazing experience with you, and the next person is going to be like, I didn't really have that experience, because the focus of things really does matter. It is interesting that we can remap our brain though through our eyes, which is what EMDR does and what other, like some of these other things that we do that are more physically oriented. So
yeah, neuroplasticity is a fascinating topic.
We could spend all day on this.
And I think we, you know, what we could do to make this tactical for the listeners, especially, let me see if I can weave this into a sentence that's coherent. COVID has decimated the lives of thousands, tens of thousands, if not in death, in the worst case scenario, in their psychological state. And I think a lot of business owners are struggling to just get back on the horse and ride back into battle, you know, the battle of delivering their services aptly, safely, et cetera, in this environment. And so there's a necessity to rebuild their mental state. And I think the focus bit is so vital in helping them recalibrate what it is that they're focusing on. Because this is much akin to what you said at the start of the show. Listen, you can go lose 300 pounds. You can have, you know, gastric bypass surgery. You could go lay on a table and have cryoskin treatments for, you know, 40 years and lose 30 inches or whatever, and all your weight. But if you don't change your headspace, you're still the same person. And that's not really a recipe for collective holistic improvement like you could have. So what I want to do is I want to take this concept and macrophy it, which is probably not a verb.
It is now.
But
I'm a macrophy it.
Let's make it macro. So we'll take this concept of focus, and then we're gonna extrapolate it onto the whole, and then we'll get back into the narrow bits on tactical deployments of this seemingly abstract concepts for goal setting and the like. So with focus, okay, for those of you right now, this is obviously a show surrounding entrepreneurship. But again, I think that the bedrock of any sort of thriving business is a proper mindset, mm-hmm. a healthy one, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I want to give you guys a quote. And this is from Daniel Kahneman, the author of Thinking Fast and Slow. He's a, God, I don't know what Peace Prize or Nobel Economic Prize. He's a genius. He's a psychological genius, big father in the research of how we think and the rest of it. So here's one of his life discoveries. And this is to you, the individual who is sitting at home right now, maybe living in a state of despair, trying to find a way out, trying to rebuild your business after the lockdowns, maybe panicking about another wave of lockdowns in California or wherever else. Okay. We do not have the control over our circumstances, obviously, right? We don't, our outside circumstances. But what we can control, or at least influence, is our headspace. So here's one way that we can tactically maybe realize or become aware of the fact that this is even possible. So here's a quote from Danny Kahneman, right. Okay, from Thinking Fast and Slow. Nothing in life is as important as you think it is while you are thinking about it.
Yes.
Be very intentional about your focus. And I would argue furthermore, and I believe that this is actually another idea from Kahneman or maybe Daniel Goldman, author of Emotional Intelligence, mm-hmm. is that the quality of your life is largely dependent on that of which you focus on.
Absolutely.
So I would challenge the listener in this audience today who is hearing this and maybe thinking, how is this relevant to business?
It's everything.
Friend, it's everything. It's the bedrock.
It is.
Okay. And we're going to get into tactical ideas and how you can elevate your ask of yourself, yep. elevate your goal setting and the rest of it and the attainment mm-hmm. of it, AKA the acquisition of revenue, new customers. Mm-hmm. Super fans and the rest mm-hmm. of it, but it starts with your headspace. Mm-hmm. Okay, so remember, the thing that you think is the end of the world. Okay, for example, last night it's 11 p.m. Guess what my dog decided to do in the bathroom as they walked into it with the lights
crap
off.
Crap right in the middle of the floor, and you stepped into it.
Yes, and I stepped
and
in it.
You almost slipped and broke your neck on the toilet as you were yes. falling down, and suddenly it's Million Dollar Baby, and we're watching the movie. Is that what happened?
Exactly.
Oh my!
My life was over.
Oh my god.
My life was over. Okay. Now, obviously, okay. this is a bit of jest and maybe ill-placed after just talking about COVID. But the point remains that had I chose to spend the next 24 hours, week, yep. or whatever, focusing on my stepping in, mm-hmm. the shit.
What would you invite more of?
It would have ruined my life.
More.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And this is why gratitude journals are very, very important. And actually, there's a, you know, I may have remarked on this or spoke to this on shows past, but there's a really interesting course from Yale University. I believe it's Dr. Lori Santos. And it's a course on happiness. It's the single most popular course in Yale history. Mm-hmm. Listeners, I would challenge you to go find that and work through the course material because it'll change your life. But in any case, what you focus on determines the quality of your life and it has direct effect on your business.
Absolutely.
So that having been said, let's see if we can weave this back into tactical stuff. Cause here's what I see a lot of owners of various entities yep. make the mistake okay. that is they don't bet on themselves. They don't set their goals high right. enough. They don't believe that they can have 20% year over year growth or whatever. And it's because of limiting beliefs, mm-hmm. whatever the excuses, mm-hmm. and these excuses, by the way, are completely plausible, and everybody deals with them. So it's, you know, calling it excuses a bit.
We all have them.
Underplaying. We all
lots of excuses.
So how would you say, in light of what we've already been discussing, maybe starting focus or whatever, as a therapist, how would you challenge the listener to discover the way, a way, whatever, to elevate their ask as it pertains to setting goals for their business? And the like. Any thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. Ask this again. I know you're about to take your drink of water that people can't see that I can see. Ask that again, will you please?
Yeah. Sure. Okay. So the setup mm-hmm. is this. The mistake that I see business owners make is that they don't ask enough of themselves. And that is principally made manifest in goal setting, if they even set goals, okay, beyond just an arbitrary goal like, I want to grow. Okay, well, that's okay. How do you know if you've hit the goal?
Got first? It. Okay.
So the question is, how would you encourage the listener to, in light of things we just discussed, focus the RAS, whatever, printing off their goal, maybe, or whatever it is, and putting on the whiteboard? How would you encourage them or show them or teach them, whatever, to elevate their ask and set, let's say, more lofty goals?
So, that's actually kind of a two-piece, because part of it is I think that people ask too much of themselves. At the same time, there's certain things that I think it's just more of not on their radar. Like, so I'm dancing kind of around the word on enough ask or not, you know, too much ask. And really what I think mm-hmm. it is just that most people, okay, ooh, there's so many concepts, right? It's like, I'm trying to, all right, where do I go first? So the first thing then that popped into my mind, Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. we mentioned this a second ago, and I feel like I have to say it again, which is the value, which is how much are you actually even asking? What are your prices? You know, just that money conversation, because I will get to the other checklist of things that we need to have as far as business owners, but a big part of this is really going to come down to not just the finances and the money value, but your time value, right? Austin, you said it earlier, is that at the end of the day, all entrepreneurs and all of this, if we're trying to scale and we're trying to do big things, is time, right? It's not money anymore. We're making money. It's, I don't have any more time. How do I get back more of my time? That's the thing. And so you've got to value those pieces first, which means ask yourself and have the conversation about money, because this dictates also, or will get in the way. If you are not, if you don't love money and you don't feel that money loves you and that you can attract it and that you're a powerful magnet, all of the stuff that you think about money then becomes all the other excuses as to why it is that people aren't attracted to you. You'll F up your marketing intentionally, because you feel funny about money or about making too much or about asking, or you give too much. Austin, you said you wasted 3 extra hours on this one customer in particular because you're having to over-explain or you're having to work harder than they are in all of these things. And so to give you some tactical tips, my first thing would be have a conversation, even though it seems like it's not exactly, have a conversation with yourself about money. Here's some questions you can ask yourself to figure out what your relationship is with money. When you think about spending money right now, how do you feel? Do you feel good? Do you start to feel restriction? Do you feel tight in your chest? When you think about the having of money, what do you feel first? Is it excitement or is it a bad feeling? When you think about when you're going to go look at your bank statements, is there excitement of like, heck yeah, or I feel good about whatever's in there? Or do you immediately feel like, oh God, I don't even want to see what I'm going to see in there? These things matter. That mindset matters, because that lets you know what your ceiling is. You can have the greatest product and service, and then you can even give yourself permission to be the greatest marketer in the history of ever. But if your ceiling on money is that, you know what, I really don't think I can make more than $1,000 a month, you will sabotage yourself from being able to receive that and let it show up and to bring it in. And so, you know, Austin, you said it a moment ago, is some of these things feel like they're not directly answering the question. You know, they seem like, oh, I'm working on this. This is the thing. So you don't have a crap ton of repair to do, right? So look at your money and how you think about money and how you feel about money. Because then as a business owner, you're going to see exactly how you might sabotage yourself. So that's one, right? The two is people always ask, I don't have the tools. I don't know what to do next. You don't have to become the master of doing everything. That's the bigger problem I see. 80% of the people who want to start business over the 20%, they have a hobby or they have something that they're kind of good at or that someone told them they were good at or that they liked doing. So they're the creator. They're the producer. They're the worker. There's different books that we've read. You might even know where I'm going, Austin, that there's the manager, there's the entrepreneur, there's the worker bee, there's different personality types within a business, right? And to be a business owner, you need to know which one of those that you actually are. So you know who you need to get to help you to be successful. It never should be, I don't have the tech. I don't know how to make a website. I don't know how to market. I don't know how to do this thing. That should never really come out of someone's mouth, because it's not what am I missing? It's who are you missing? Someone else has done this already. Someone else has done this successfully. Someone else, this is their living. This is the piece they're passionate about. And so you have to spend money when you start a business, unfortunately. You have to spend money on marketing, and you really have to learn that you have to know your numbers. You have to stop being scared of numbers. You have to know average cart value. You have to know, you know, what is the average money that one of your customers brings to you. You have to get really comfortable with those numbers. Those very same numbers that are the ones reflected back to you in your bank account. So if you hate numbers, that says you also hate money, which means you hate who you're going to attract and the amount you're going to attract. I think those would be the places that I honestly would start. I do have a checklist of if you're trying to start a business on the things that you have to do and how to recover, but it really is, there is not a lack. Let me say that. There is not a lack. The universe expands. There's not a lack of money or time or space or whatever. There is plenty to go around. So stop the restriction, because then you're pushing against it and you're keeping it from yourself. Number two, recovering from COVID would be then, how about you take this as the opportunity to actually do what your purpose and your passion is? The difference between a job and a career or a vocation, career and vocation, the idea is that person is living their purpose or their passion and getting monies for it. A job often then is, when people say, oh, I have a job, that's not you living your purpose or passion. That's what you had to do to make money. Does that make sense? And so of course you don't want to show up. And of course you're going to sabotage that. And of course that's going to end up like all kind of weird things and whatever. So that's what I would then say to you is, you know, get really clear, know where you're at, get more focused. Take this, if you lost your job, I know lots of those people. I know lots of those people that lost their job and then they're trying to reinvent themselves now, right? Okay, what's that new job I'm going to do? So the biggest thing is we have to be adaptable. That is in business, not just because of Corona. In general, you have to be adaptable. Corona was that big reminder for a lot of businesses. And like I said, this is not to take lightly that a lot of people had to close their doors. A lot of business, a lot of people, I totally understand that. I get the impact of that. Take this as that opportunity, though, to recognize I'm an adaptable, freaking amazing human being. My business is going to be adaptable. How do I take this as a growth opportunity instead of that failure and that shutdown, right? How do I actually bring to market more of what I want to bring? Take this as the opportunity to evaluate, what you were doing before really bringing you that much joy? Were you really, really that happy about it? Were you passionate about it? Did it fulfill you? Was it fun? Did it feel good? Because if you feel good and you're passionate and you like it and you enjoy it, guess what? You're going to attract more people. You're going to make more money, right? So I think I would start at those places. I could definitely give more bullet points, but it's you're adaptable. Own it. Believe that you can recover. Absolutely. Failure is just a way. Just put the word way versus failure. It was just one way to do it that didn't work. There's a thousand, a bajillion ways to do something. Lots of ways that will work and lots of ways that didn't. When you failed, all you did was found a way that didn't work. So you just find the way that does. Fail forward faster. Don't look at it as failure. Look at it as your opportunity to get, you're that much closer, right? If you, that one fail means, oh shoot, I'm that much closer to finding the solution, one of the solutions that does work. Everybody knows Jack Canfield, 86 publishers he had to bring this freaking book to, Chicken Soup for the Soul, 86 publishers before that Joker got published. Anybody that you ask that makes a ton of money, that did well in business, did they do it their first go around? No. What's the difference between them and everyone else? They don't look at failure as failure, because failure is a stupid effing word that doesn't even really exist. It's a way. It's a way to do things. But then we stop ourselves and we say, I failed. That means I can never do it, right? This is not for me. I don't have the tools. I can't do this. No, that's just your lens. You remember, we talked about that earlier. You got your feelings hurt before. And so now your lens says, see, I told you you couldn't do it. But that's not true. Fail forward faster. Try and break it as fast as you can so you can hurry up and have the solutions that are lasting. Stop being afraid to try. Stop being afraid of this word failure. There is no such thing. It's just a way to do it. Figure out the best way to do it. One of the many best ways to do it. Give yourself some freaking grace. I know that was a lot. I'm sorry. Oh. So much.
Hey, Siri, grab the fire extinguisher. I'm ablaze over here.
I know. The opposite of the last person, right? You're like, I'm going to need less words.
That was great. I think something that jumps, two things actually leapt out at me. The first is with respects to goal setting. You know, I think there's first of all, you could argue that goals are stupid. Systems are better.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
But I think you know, one way we might approach setting a goal, a target, mm-hmm. something to aspire to or to, would be to think in terms of return on time. So maybe you're a massage therapist and you're totally okay with $80 an hour. Great. Find a way to find more customers that can get you to $80 an hour, and then you're happy. You're fine. You hit the goalpost. But that's not the interesting bit. Here's maybe where there's something more interesting. So I think a lot of listeners still may be thinking, okay, great. I still don't know how to find my customer. I've been sitting here doodling on my notepad for the last 6 months, and I can't figure out who they are aside from, you know, a person with two legs. So here's an idea that I heard recently, and maybe you can speak to this, and we can scoot to the next topic. Is it's taken from a guy, I think his name is Ryan Daniel Moran. He runs capitalism.com and a big entrepreneur, mm-hmm. blah, 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 whatever. But he says to those that are looking for their customer and they're lost, mm-hmm. well, who do mm-hmm. I serve? Well, guess what? Who do you know better than anyone else on this planet?
You are your own avatar, my friend. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So here's the question for you as a therapist. Yes. Is would you advocate or implore the person who's swimming in an ocean of options? Yep. Well, do I want my avatar to look like a 22-year-old girl that wears yoga pants or a 45-year-old woman that wears a skirt? Right. I don't know. Okay. Would you advocate to that person who's swimming in the ocean of options, paralyzed by
analysis paralysis,
array of options that are in us, the old AP, would you advocate as a starting point? Because, well, let me give some more context first, then the question. Many people don't know themselves in truth.
Right.
They think they do. Right. Jung talks about this in the, I have his book on my damn shelf, The Unexplored Self or something of the sort. Anyway, but he talks about this notion of people not, you have it on your shelf, I would expect.
That's the big red book is Jung's.
Oh, nice. Very cool. Yeah, the one on top of your library. Very cool. But he talks about how because the self, and you know, obviously has different.
There's small s and big
s. The self is a. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. Same like Heidegger and being, have an uppercase B and lowercase b. But this is not a philosophy show, so we'll move on. Here's the question. Okay. So if we take it to be the case that most people do not truly know themselves, we have a couple tools that can help with that. So the question is this: would you advocate to the person trying to find their avatar to start with doing some sort of, I don't know, personality test, something like that, to help them tactically figure out who the hell their customer is if they want to start with themselves as their customer? Hmm.
That would work. That would be very helpful. The other thing that would actually even be more helpful, what would be more helpful? Yes, that would work, because what we're looking for is for them to be able to ask some self-exploration and to take them as much as possible from getting in their own way. So really, it's easier to do with someone else. Honestly, this exercise is probably easier to do with someone else now that I'm saying this out loud. But basically, it's, what are your problems? Start really looking at what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses. The things that you consider weaknesses, what were the, here's where we get into big stuff. What were the primary breaks that happened with your parents? Was somebody, one of them, physically available, not available, financially, emotionally, mentally? How were your needs not met? A personality test would be really great. Again, I would suggest, if you're really trying to find the avatar, is recognize you are your own avatar. So this makes it really, really easy. So even from a, let's to make it even more simple, let's say you're that person that you're like, listen, I don't really want to get into my emotional mentals. I just want to make some freaking money, right? Like, that's what we think that we're out here doing. Okay, fine. If you're that person and you're trying to, but you recognize that you are your own avatar, keep it simple, stupid. Where do you hang out? Right? And just start looking at that. It's really easy. I love when people are their own avatars, because when you're on YouTube and you're trying to go to sleep, what videos are you watching? Who helps you fall asleep? What are the interesting things that you do? Are you an ASMR person? I watch Ace of Clay. He makes little freaking claymation things. This lets you know, though, I'm hanging out at these places. Okay, where do I go shop? I go shop at Aldi. If I can and it's close, I'll shop at a Trader Joe's, but otherwise I go to Harris Teeter because it's close to me. Okay, so now we know where these people hang out. And so what else do you know about yourself? Okay, well, how many kids do you have? Are you married? Are you not? Did you play sports? Did you not? Like, it's really even some of these basic likes and not likes. Where do you shop? What do you do? Look at yourself as a customer and look at yourself now as, oh, if I'm my customer and I know everything about me, you can assume those same things. Then you're trying to find those same people. You're trying to find other people then that are just like you. So what about you? Right? So then now, what is your product or service? Let's take this tactically. Let's get a product or service or a job that somebody has.
I'm an esthetician. I rent a booth at a Phoenix salon suite. I just added, we'll make it really tactical for our audience. I've just started doing microblading and facials, and because I'm biased, cryo
skin.
Fat loss.
Beautiful. Treatments. Okay. So here's what's really easy. So CryoScan, since Austin, especially since you're biased and you're here with that, then me as a business owner, to make that easy so I don't have to figure it out because I don't have the data, I call them or I message them. If you have a machine or a product that someone else's, they have the information that you need. So you don't have to do that piece. So I would call them and be like, what's your demographic? Who buys this? Not just from who are the other practitioners, right? I don't care about their demographics. Who are their patients? There's obviously some data out here. What's the majority of who comes, right? So you look at, here's the service or product, generally speaking, who consumes that thing? You can literally Google it. Google, who does cryo? Right? Or who does body sculpting? Or who does cold, whatever? Who does microblading? So then now you can figure that out if you don't know already. The other piece is, who do you want to attract? Right? When we did that visualization exercise, so now it was, is I can do that service for both men and women. Who do I want to try and get here for that? Who are the people that I like? I mean, really, that's what you're coming down to. So in this case, it would be, all right, for me, if I was going to do that, I like to kind of break barriers. So if that generally seems to be a women that are between the ages of 18 and 46, if that's generally who goes, okay, that's part now of my demographic. Can I whittle that down even more? Okay, so who are the people who also then that like to get the microblading? All right, what's their age? What have I noticed that their age? Or I Google, who gets microblading done, right? And this starts giving you an idea. From that, who do you want to work with, right? So I was saying that for me, my person would be absolutely one of my avatars. I would probably have, just off the top, I would probably have three is what I'm thinking. I would have one that was the woman between the ages of 18 and 43. I would base this off of the research that I looked on, what are the type of people are that get this thing done. I would also look, what other services and products do I offer and who am I? I'm interested in guys. I want guys to be able to come and start using this. If that's what I know and that's the other services I have, well, then all I have to do is just change my marketing a little bit. Okay, so what guys are interested in this? Let me start Googling it. Where do they hang out? And the data also will help you narrow down your niche because it's going to tell you guys who are 75 don't really get this done. Oh, okay. So do you see? So it's a two-piece thing. One piece is, depending on your product or service, just start Googling who are the other people who offer it, right? Who are the other people that offer it and who goes to see them? Who goes and hangs out there? If you've offered anything similar to this, who comes and sees it? That is an idea. That's the demographic that consumes that thing. Do you consume it too? Are you also, oh, great. I'm my own avatar. Fabulous. So I'm going to have that one female. I am going to have a male. I'd like to try and attract guys that are between the ages of, what are guys that are really concerned about the physicalness and still trying to be cute for the ladies or for the men's or
95 yeah, to 99.
Or the other friends. Right. But exactly. But it's okay. So now I'm going to say, I'm going to target then people that are between guys 22 and 45. Let's say I start there. Start with something. As you get going, you just make, then you narrow it down. You then get more specific as you realize, you know what? I thought I wanted to work with this group and I really don't. So really, at some point, done beats perfect, and just make a decision. If you're really struggling and you're like, I have no idea, Google it. On average, who generally uses this thing? Great. Use that for now and then start advertising there if that's what you want to do. And then as you start advertising, as you start getting people in, you're going to start refining and realizing you actually have a type. If you couldn't figure that out through that exercise of who's my favorite perfect customer that I saw walk in, you will, by starting to see people, you will then figure out very quickly what your type is, and that will your freaking demographic right down if you couldn't figure it out. So some of it, if you can't figure it out, just start. It'll tell you, I promise you.
I would argue, or bet, maybe it's a better way of framing it, that a great majority of business owners in the beauty or wellness universe today are burnt out from lack of revenue, from lack of this, lack of that. And I wonder, you know, again, this is why, part of the reason why I was so excited to have you on the show is, as a therapist, there's, you know, there's a tremendous need for therapy, particularly for business owners. Yes. So what I'm wondering is whether or not you think...
Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm wondering if you would say that in terms of finding a panacea to burnout as a business owner, if doing this one activity of finding your avatar could be the singular most effective and impactful way for fighting burnout that an owner could possibly take.
I'm nodding my head in agreement. I'm just thinking if there's anything else I can think of that might kind of rival that. I don't know if you heard me breathing into the microphone as you were talking, saying yes. I think so. Like I said, I'm kind of feeling it out. I think so, because people get it either that or what really is their passion and purpose, right? Like either one of those questions is going to reinvigorate your entire business, because you're just checking in with yourself of, does this make me happy? Does working with this type of person, and who is that person that makes me happy? You're refining that. And so anytime you're checking in with yourself to say, okay, is this still working? Is this still the people that I want to work with? You're absolutely going to reinvigorate new life, because you're making sure you're in alignment with what you want, right? And with who you want to work with. Same thing I would say then, even with that same question, is if you question, even from the business perspective, is this product or service or my business brand, is this really what I want to do? Is this my most authentic thing of how I want to support people and that lights me up? As long as you question your original, come back to, just check in. Does this still make me happy? You are going to breathe and reinvigorate that. If you were burnt out and you were tired of it and you were over it, it's probably because you're getting a whole lot of feedback and interaction that doesn't light you up, that doesn't turn you on, that isn't super juicy and that you're excited about. So it feels draining. Right? So yeah, readjust and realize and recognize, just look and see, who am I attracting? Why am I feeling drained? Oh, it's these people. It doesn't mean they're bad people. It just means that's not in alignment with what I want and what is making me happy now. And we adjust, we adapt.
Yeah, because I think burnout is really the antithesis of high energy. And high energy is required to succeed in anything. Here's why. Because success, I think, ultimately boils down to, I'm reluctant to say this because this is missing a key element, okay, but let's just say this is half of the equation for success, or half of the recipe, is decreasing the amount of time or the latency between actions.
Yes. Decisions.
Okay. Yeah, decisions, right? Because with each decision that's going to beget some flavor of execution, you're either going to succeed on the thing. Maybe it's something as banal as sending an email to a possible vendor, whatever, I don't know, to a complete disaster failure. But failure is something that we actually want to seek out, right? Why? Well, you should fail forward faster.
Yes. Right?
And why is that? Because with each iteration of a failure, which is really just truly a lesson or a seminar in pre-success, you're going to be that much closer to hitting the goalpost that you've aspire to. Maybe that's getting your return on time to, $100 an hour, whatever the metric is that you've set for yourself. But if you don't have energy, you're toast. Okay, so how do you get your energy back? Well, I think, listeners, the formula, the secret, is to get extremely clear about who you want to serve. And if you don't know who to serve, serve yourself, clone yourself, find the clones. They exist in the universe. Okay. Now you could say, well, there's nobody like people. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Oscar Wilde.
You're special.
In the universe of other people.
But you're not that special.
Exactly.
No,
they're exactly. Yeah. Well, there's always 16 personalities.
Exactly.
Like how original is person A to person B? But I would say this could be the singular most impactful takeaway from the conversation, which is getting clear on who you serve. Because look, there are some customers that partners that I talk to that I'm just like, no, God, no, your energy is atrocious. You're going to be a life suck to my finance team when they're coming to you saying, hey, you owe us because we give you this amazing value. And you're going to be a disaster to work with. You're going to be soul sucking. I'm not interested. I'm sorry, but you'll be better served talking to John down the street. Whereas conversely, I get someone on the phone. They're amazing. You know, all of my guests I've had on the show that are clients of mine are all amazing. They're lovely. They're fantastic to work with. And I get energy from that. And that energy gives me gas in my tank or electricity in my Tesla. I mind you, Elon Musk. I'm going to get one of those damn Model S's here soon.
I'll take one free too.
You know, it gives me
throw it at me. I'll allow that in. Thank you.
Come on, Elon, hook us up.
I'll allow that,
Mr. Musk.
I love it.
Yeah, so I think you know this is one of the ways that we can reclaim our energy and overcome.
Absolutely.
Burnout. So,
absolutely, is figure out where are these holes. Right, every person that you meet, especially every one of your clients and patients, everyone in your life, plugs into us every interaction, and those cords. Think of it just like a plug. They're sticking out from all over the place on us. And some people have a hose attached to you and they're either giving to you or they're depleting, right? All people are either giving or depleting. They're either bucket fillers or they're bucket takers. They're energy. It's like their energy sucks. And we've all met those people.
IVs
yes,
and vampires.
They're energetic vampires, right?
How's that?
They suck the life out of the room, out of you, out of whatever. Yeah. And so it absolutely is on who are those types of people? And if you think about it, they're not hard to figure out. Who fills your tank? What type of issues, even problems, do they have? But how do they talk with you? How do they interact? That is your avatar. Those are the people that you're like, yes, that's who I can. And that's who you can also figure out who you can help the most. The people who are most like you, because it's easiest if you've already overcome that thing. It's easiest for you to talk about it to those same type of people who talk and move the same way you do. This is absolutely going to invigorate that. Every moment that you can realign yourself with, who am I really? Who am I really? Is that really what I meant to say? Is that really the thing? Is always then that opportunity for focus, the clarity of focus, that which we focus on, thoughts become things, we will find it, right? Clarity of focus, when we are of ambivalent minds, when we are not making decisions. So that's the other piece. Outside of knowing your avatar, if that's not the single, as far as, you know, action we can do in business, the number one thing in your life and in business, make a decision. You have to make a decision. You have to, entrepreneurs, successful people, whatever that means, people that have the money, the B's or the do's and the haves that we want, that one of the common denominators is they make decisions. They make quick decisions. That doesn't mean you don't intake and you don't, you know, checks and balance or gather whatever information you need to make a decision, but they don't say, oh, I need to think about this for weeks and months. Opportunities, good growth and amazing opportunities showing up right now. The big difference, a big marker, is that they are fast make decision makers. When people say, I don't know, I'm confused, you're often an ambivalent mind, which means you're going to manifest and create all kinds of crap because it's unfocused. When we focus and think on that thing and only looking at that thing and how we feel about that thing, that's where we manifest with intention. That's when you see more of the customers that you want to see. Your eyes can focus on them. They're everywhere. Everything you want is around you. It's just whether or not you think you can have it or whether or not you allow it, right? Yeah. So I think even more than just the know your avatar, really make a decision. Done beats perfect. Get it done. Do the damn thing. And then if you have to go back and make adjustments, make your adjustments. Absolutely, right? The other number two thing for entrepreneurs is they are adaptable. They are changeable. Businesses that last are adaptable. Make a decision. Done beats perfect. And then if you have to make tweaks, you go back and make tweaks. And here's the thing, you most likely will have to make tweaks. It's not too many people that got this all figured out right off the first rip or change their logo. Here's the other thing, your logo and your website and all of that stuff that you keep getting stuck on, the design, it is not that serious. Get something done because you're using that as your excuse so why you can't start business. Because how many of you whose website's been being worked on for the last two freaking years. It's time to get it done and get in business. Right?
Holy moly. Alexa, bring me that other fire extinguisher. I'm still ablaze over here.
Yes.
Need some band-aids and ointments.
So good.
Yeah. Wow. Well, okay. My God. We're an hour and 30 into it. This is going to be the record-setting podcast in terms of pure duration. And I'm delighted that we were able to do that.
Yes.
I'm gonna do two things, and I actually hold on, let me take a note here so I don't forget this next idea that I have, and then I want to do a summary here because there's been a lot that we've covered, and I want to give some sort of distilled summary to the listeners, and then I'll some bullet points. So, a couple bullet points that jump out to me. Number one, know that you have to find your audience, you have to find your customer, you have to find your avatar, call it what you will. And then if you're going to take it a step further and you're going to hack your headspace and your reticular activating system, okay, don't get hung up on that term. It doesn't matter. But if you want to hack your headspace and orient the totality of your energy and your being on the pursuit of serving the sliver of the population, and by the way, you should go small before you go big, niche down, is to print off with as many coloring adjectives as you can find to describe what your avatar looks like. Hang it on your whiteboard, put it in front of your face, read it before you go to bed at night. Maybe you swap the affirmations, and instead of reading your affirmations in the morning and at night, you read your damn avatar, right? So that you can orient yourself to who they are, where they exist, and why you serve them. And by the way, know your why. Figure out why you're in business and why you exist, because that's going to energize you. That's going to give you the gas in your tank, the electricity in your battery, hashtag Tesla, to charge.
Hashtag I need one.
Hard charge through the day. Yes, me too.
For free. Hashtag I need one for free. Okay.
Yes. Well, let's just double your revenue. We can talk Krauskin after.
Yes.
I'm kidding. But you have to be clear on who you are, who you serve. And by the way, if you don't know who you are or who you're going to serve, start with you. Don't know who you are, do some personality tests. Here's an idea. I've already given Jordan Peterson a shout out on the show before, but what the hell, do it again. He has a personality test, or I think it's just a test. It's a big five personality test. I'm sure it's a universal test, but do that. Do the 16 personality type test. Figure out if you're
INJR.
Like, yeah, I'm an ENFP, a campaigner. Yeah, INTP, whatever it is, right? Figure out who you are, get clear on your why, get clear on your customer, and find ways to serve them. Okay. Beyond that, moreover, stop thinking that failure is the antithesis of success. It's not. It's a precursor. It's a seminar in pre-success. Fail faster. Sorry.
Forward faster.
Forward faster. In terms of figuring out what your goalpost ought be, maybe it's okay to simplify it and have it be a return on time. Maybe it's just you want to elevate your revenue hourly from 60 to 80. Great. Work towards that. And be intentional about your energy direction, and that's, again, is a product of having clarity on who you are, who you serve, your avatars. And I think actually the last important bit here to remark on two things. Do not have the mindset that you can be all to everyone, because if you do that, you will be no one to everyone.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so the simple tactical way to do that is to have three max personas, avatars, whatever, which conveniently is the number of sides in a triangle, which is the most stable base.
Yes. And, you know, well, a pyramid with the four, the cube. It's the three and the four. It's a magic number. That's a whole nother show.
Yeah, mathematics is not my forte, but we'll just pretend that it's a triangle.
Yes, it is.
The most stable base. But it is, yeah, pyramid, four-dimensional, three-dimensional, same idea. And then lastly, and this is where I want to end the show, is getting... I lied, I took questions for you. But here's
no, that's here's it. You don't actually get to ask them now.
Lock with the question.
That's it.
You spent your question tokens.
No more tickets for you.
So I'm a business owner. Okay. You're a therapist. I'm struggling with execution. Okay. Again, because decreasing the latency between actions is really the biggest chunk of the Venn diagram of success, I would argue. So I'm a business owner. Let's say I'm a listener in this audience today. And I'm like, oh, this is all great, but God, the couch just seems so appealing, which is not, you know, every listener, duh. But people do struggle with execution, and that's the product of decision. So how would you encourage them to up their execution game as a therapist who understands the psyche, minds, and everything in between? Now, this is obviously a very easy question. Ha, ha, ha. Just kidding. It's obviously difficult. You can write a dissertation on this, I'm sure. But any tactical ideas on this?
I do. I actually have a simple answer. Hopefully that doesn't mean a whole lot of words. This is exactly what I tell all my clients to do as well, actually, on this topic. Start saying no and start making lists. So one of the biggest things that I'm hearing is, as a result, and not just with the burnout then, is overwhelm. That's a really good way. Everyone is in overwhelm, whether it's because of Corona, because kids are at home and you have to teach them, and now you're a parent and you hate everybody, whatever it is. Overwhelm is what I'm hearing you say there. Is how do we work through that the best? You've got all kinds of things to do as a business owner. First thing is, make a list. Remember how earlier we said time is the only commodity you actually really have at that you actually only care about at that point, because you've got money at this point. So time. We want to get time back, right? We need to exchange our dollars for time. Make a list of everything that you have to do for business. And actually, you could do this for your life. Every single thing, whether that's emails, if you're everything and you're the one doing the marketing, you're doing the digital copy, do you have phone calls to make? Do you have emails to do? Do you have to pay the bills? A list of every single thing that you have to do. Go down this list first. And the very first thing you do is, what can I say no to? Cross off all those things you can start saying no to. Those are the things that are not a return on your investment or a return on your time. Those are the things, and we all do this. And then we call it laziness or procrastination. It's fear. It's fear of success. It's other things. It's usually fear of success or worthiness that's getting in our way of why we don't complete things. It's not laziness or procrastination. I'm just going to say that. So anyway, you're going to go through this list, and you're going to go through, and what can I say no to? What is not, it's taking away, it's that drain. You remember I said people are plugging into you, you're either filling up the, what is taking away from you? And it's a spinning of your wheel. It's not doing anything. It's just extra shit. Cross it off the list and stop doing it. Say no to these things. After you've gone down this whole list of everything that you think you have to do, because these things that you think you have to do create anxiety. Anxiety is our internal pressure to perform. All anxiety is performance anxiety. I'm just going to say that too. So you're going to go through this list. You're going to take off everything you can say no to. After this point, this is especially from a business mindset. So you can free up time and also do actions that are actual useful actions, not that spinning crap that we do, right? So then you're going to go through and you're going to DOS or do's, your to-do list, your do, D-O-S, D, delegate. Go down this list and you're going to put a D next to everything that you can, who do you have on your team already or in your business already that you can delegate that task to? So if that was the mail, if that was the website, if that was the whatever that thing was, who can you delegate to? That's D. Go through the whole list. Next, who do I have to outsource to? Remember how I said earlier, people get stuck when they say, oh, I don't know how to do this. They get stuck on the how. I don't know how the tech I don't have, or I don't have the software I need, whatever. No, it's not how, it's who. Outsource. Who has this information? Get yourself a coach, somebody who can do this with you faster. Pay somebody to get there quick, whatever it is. Outsource. Who do you have to outsource this thing to so you can get it off your freaking plate? So the first one was delegate. The next one is outsource. You probably have to pay somebody, barter, whatever you do. Go find the person. Last, the S, the DOS, the do's, is self. So last on that list. You are your only commodity. There is only one of you. Your time is the most important. Your time should be getting charged the most amount of money for your time. If you're a coach or you're a therapist or you're one of those, you better be charging four times whatever you're charging right now. I could probably already guarantee. Everyone else should be your gatekeepers and they get paid less, you see. But that last one is S, is self, because you're the most expensive and your time is your most, and there should be the fewest amount of selves, the fewest amount of S's on there that you can get of what are you saying yes to? And the things that you say yes to that are left for you are the things that you know have a direct impact on your return on investment, which is also your return in time. So it's either return on your money, you better be getting 10x your money. Otherwise, why are you wasting your time spinning on the little thing? But we should be getting our time back. So DOS your list. That's what I say for everyone. And that's going to cut down on all types of things. So that's my therapeutic advice, is say no. People are like, hey, you want to be on the show? That sounds like a really good idea. But if that's going to take away time and your focus from what you're trying to put out there, then what do? You say no to the show because that does not help you. Stop. Well, yeah, but isn't that going to help? No, no. Is that going to bring you money right now? Is that going to, you know, give you your time back right now? Is it that serious that you do it? You know?
Is the activity that you're doing right now in this moment, listener, a $10 an hour activity or $1,000
I like
an hour
that.
Activity? If it's a $10 an hour activity, delegate it. It's called a VA. Mm-hmm. They're amazing. They're wonderful. I just hired one. Her name's Vanessa. She's
Upwork.
Amazing.
Odesk.
She is incredible.
Fiverr.
Upwork,
I don't give a damn.
Odesk,
go somewhere.
Yes.
Brickworks. You know, go to India. I don't care. Whatever.
And by the way, this may sound like oh, that's unethical or whatever.
Nope.
Wrong. First of all, there are two distinct advantages of outsourcing that people don't seem
to
realize.
Every advantage.
Or delegation, okay? Number one, you're paying someone and they like getting paid. And more importantly, I mean, maybe not more importantly, but equally important, you are exponentially increasing the amount of time that you have to go serve more people, to do what it is that you do best, the value that you offer the universe. So do it. Stop making excuses. DOS, delegate, outsource, self, beautifully stated. I'm going to write a book on that and steal the credit. And I'm kidding.
Yep. Yeah. You know?
Just kidding. That's a book idea, though. That's great. That's the secret super weapon execution. That's fantastic. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I never thought of it in those terms.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Get more selfish. That, I mean, really, that's what we're saying. Get selfish with your time. Be protective over your freaking time because your time is valuable. And then value yourself in the way that our currency and our world works. And value yourself by charging more than what you think you should, because most of the time, most people are way, way low on valuing their own time. Mm-hmm. And if you think you have to beg and explain to people why you charge $35 an hour or whatever you charge an hour, that's probably not what you want to do. We don't want to go after those people. I want to go after the people that are like, oh, hey, you have a service and you seem, you know, you're good at it. We vibe. I like it. What we're doing, here's my money. I don't really care what your amount is or my cost is. Like that's the realm that I want to work in. Everybody has a different one. But there again, I know my market. I know my avatar. I know what I want. I want to make a certain amount of money. So therefore I have to attract a certain type of people that has a certain amount of money and they live and they work and they do certain things. So I have to have product and services for that group, right? All of this stuff. That's it. This is easy. We can do this.
Well, I can think of no better invitation to a exiting segue than the remarking on time. And given that we are an hour and 30 minutes, actually 36 minutes into the show, which has been a ball. And I would argue to my death and on my deathbed that this has been an extremely valuable show to the listeners. But we do have our regular jobs to get back to, our people to serve that we love so dearly. So let's hang our hats and wrap the show today. But before we do that, where on this earth can our listeners find you?
Everywhere. So again, I'm Dr. Sabrina Rojek. I am Dr. Sabrina Rojek, R-O-J-E-K, everywhere as far as ads are concerned. YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, multiple places, Facebook. Shift your shit. That I do want to say. Search for Life Unleashed on Facebook, or if you search me up, you'll, like I said, you'll find it. But that is my group, one of my groups that I have on there. Join it. It's we talk about all of these things. So not just business. Like I said, we have a couple of tracks, life. We talk about health, wealth, relationships, sex. I am a sex therapist. You know, we talk about all of that stuff and very, very plainly. I've got boot camps and things like that. The other things, the two that I am launching is in December, I have another boot camp that's coming up. And so it's shiftingyourshit.com is where you'll see that funnel. Otherwise, www.sabrinarojek.com or iamwellnow.com. That's for integrative wellness solutions. So if you have questions, if you're wanting to know more about anything that we talked about or any part of health or sexuality, if it's for therapy, if it's for coaching, I do both. I also do business coaching and things like that. Hit me up. Again, it's Sabrina@SabrinaRojek is my email. If you've got questions or you want to get involved or you want to figure out how we can get down with the get down.
Doctor, PhD, super genius, master's degree. How many degrees do you need? I don't know. Sabrina has all of them. Thanks for being on the show. It has been an absolute delight. And we will have you on again here in the future. So thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Austin. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and also the information you're bringing to other people and the entrepreneurs. It's brilliant. It's beautiful. Thank you for the service that you're giving to the rest of us as well.
You're amazing. We will catch you next time.
I love monkeys. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you're looking for the latest in body contouring technology, check out cryoskin.com to learn more about how we're helping beauty and wellness business owners take their business to the next level without the cost and commitments of other products in the market. Connect again with us at cryoskin.com. Thanks for listening.